Well, it's great to see so many people here, and it's humbling to speak after my own greatest peace hero. In fact, I want to say a few words about peace hero, but you know, we are in the presence of a historic figure, which is Howard Zinn. And I wonder if you guys would be willing up to come up and stand with me and express, because I really want to appreciate my gratitude for what Howard Zinn has done for the world and for the United States, and give him real. Thank you very much. If we had a language that made sense and we could talk about peace heroes, maybe we'd be electing a President Zinn rather than a President McCain, who's running largely on his war hero status, or even a President Obama, who is not willing to give up. He wants to change our war venue from Iraq to Afghanistan and Pakistan. Embracing the preemptive doctrine of war in relation to Pakistan. But I want to talk briefly about the idea of a peace hero. I passed out, so many of you may have, a little op-ed that I wrote in the Christian Science Monitor on the idea of war heroes and peace heroes. And I just thought I'd say a few words about this and let you read it at your leisure, because I got a tremendous response to this. It got... The Monitor actually has a very, when you start doing this public work, you learn things, and I learned that the Monitor has a very small circulation, but it's worth publishing in the Monitor because they're very widely syndicated, so you can get stuff picked up and go into, you know, lots of different places. And when I did this little piece with a colleague, it just went all over the country in internet time speed and got reprinted in scores of major newspapers and all over the net and so forth. And it really surprised me. And what it made me think was that there's a hunger out there for thinking about peace and peace heroes, people like Howard Zinn. I mean, they've meant so, so much to us. You know, they've made such a difference in our history and in our own personal life. But, you know, we lack the language even to talk about them because, you know, we live in a culture where the language of war heroism is the currency of the realm. I mean, if you go back to our presidents, you know, I don't know, Howard, how many of our presidents have been war heroes? You know, almost everyone after the Civil War, all the way up, you know, to John McCain. And it made me think, you know, isn't it interesting? I mean, one other example, John Kerry in 2004 could have run as a war hero or a peace hero because he led the opposition of veterans to the war, but he couldn't do that. So John Kerry ran as a war hero. You can't run as a peace hero because we don't have any language for a peace hero. You know, war hero is the currency. Why don't we have a language of peace heroism? Why are there no peace heroes recognized in the United States? Why are there no peace heroes who are presidents of the United States? Why don't we have a political party that stands for the ideas of peace heroism? I mean, in my view, this is really important. It's important partly because my life has been so deeply shaped by people like Howard Zinn, who are true peace heroes. And there are many such people. I don't know if you have your own idea of peace heroes. But I think the reason that people read this little op-ed is because they intuited somehow that there's something about our language that is reflecting something deeper, about something deeply gone wrong in our culture. And I think there's something deeply Orwellian, to use the language. You know, How many of you remember reading in high school or something Orwell's book, 1984? You must have read that, right? And remember, he talks about doublethink and newspeak, right? And, you know, he talked about how war states, empires, hegemonic powers, use language, slogans like peace is war. And I thought about this, peace is war, war is peace, which is one of the Big Brother's slogans, and how much that makes, sort of helps understand. You know, if you live in a state that lives and dies off war, of course that state cannot permit language of peace heroism, because the language itself would be subversive. And so war becomes the instrument of peace. And peace, you know, John McCain, who bombed, as Howard said, who bombed all these innocent civilians, went on a lot of air, pilot runs, and actually acknowledged later in prison that he had killed a lot of innocent people. Actually, I believe he called, although he later recanted it, but said it was, you know, it was, he was a war criminal. But, you know, even today, the one thing that McCain has going for him is his reputation as a war hero. And that has given people faith. Today, even with the polls beginning to move so heavily toward Obama, people still say John McCain is the man they trust on foreign policy and to lead the war on terrorism. How is this possible? Well, I mean, very briefly, the language of war heroism seems to me to be embedded in the culture of any kind of hegemonic imperial power. It's just part of, it's part of helping people survive in this culture and to support it. Going back to Orwell, if you don't think in the language that's on the screens all the time, that Big Brother's repeating, you're going to go to room 101, which was where they tortured the heretics who had to be reprogrammed. And I think we've all been programmed by this language of war heroism. Because, you know, there is, of course, individual courage among soldiers. And no doubt McCain showed some courage in prison in Vietnam. But what the language, what this Orwellian language does is that it sort of conflates individual heroism or courage in situations of war with the moral legitimacy of the war itself, which really the language can't tolerate a challenge to. And so, our heroes are mythical figures. They're figures that are iconic, that represent what the culture idealizes. And of course, in a war state, the most mythical and high moral and religious principles are those of war itself. And so I think that what we see is that there's a sliding of our brain. This is sort of the kind of thing Orwell is getting at, from language about an individual to a whole culture of consent, where people come to believe that war heroes are heroes because they're fighting for something noble. And, of course, every great power, empire, has essentially reframed conquest and war as acts of peace, as acts of moral sacrifice, as acts of defending civilization from barbarism. And it gets all tied up in this Orwellian doublethink, where it becomes so hard to sort of distinguish. Who are the peacemakers in America? They're people like John McCain, war heroes. That's how Americans have been taught to think. So I think there's something serious. The reason I wanted partly to express this appreciation to Howard was I wanted the people to get serious about the idea of really transforming and recognizing who are the people that really represent love and peace and truth in this very convoluted state that we live in. And we're bound up by this language. And I think the reason this little piece got circulated so widely is that people have an intuitive sense that the brain is being sort of chained by this language of war heroism. It's part of this broader kind of straitjacket of the mind that keeps us from questioning the moral legitimacy of our country. You know, so that the word peace itself, it seems to me, in the United States is kind of a bad word. You can't run. Can you? Can you run as a peace advocate in the United States? Only if you're a war hero, only if you're advocating more war. You saw this with Kerry. You see this with Obama now. Obama can run for peace in Iraq only if he's arguing for a more militant position in intervention. There's no playing with the idea that there's something about the fundamental militaristic foreign policy of the United States. It can't be brought up if you want to win an election. Now, I will say, you know, Howard was talking about the evolution of being at BC from a time coming when there was maybe one or two priests here. And those of us who have been here for a while know that there are a lot of budding peace heroes at BC. You remember that when, I don't know if you remember this, Howard, when Condoleezza Rice was invited to be a honorary degree recipient, we got, I think, close to half the arts and science faculty to protest against that down on the floor of the, you know, of the stadium, turning their back on her, because we did not want to recognize. I mean, you got that sign up on the wall there. And this is an institution that was inviting Condoleezza Rice, one of the architects of all these wars, to be here. So, you know, one sees hope. And I was interested in watching the debate last night. You know, they do these little focus groups where they're following independent voters and how they're responding to words. Sarah Palin, of course, exceeded expectations by showing she could complete a sentence. But it was interesting in following her little track. The where she went down the most was when she turned to Biden and said, "The trouble with you in Iraq and Obama in talking about pulling out in 16 months with a timeline," is she said, "You know what you're doing," and this plays on the whole McCain more thing. She says, "You're waving the white flag of surrender." Do you remember hearing that? This was obviously, it was a very charged moment. And it was very interesting for me to see that the independent voters, this was in Columbus, Ohio, the dial went down dramatically. They were putting their thumbs down when she said that. So it was interesting that you see, you know, I mean, this has always been historically true. One of the why you should read Howard's book, The People's History of the United States, is you go back to these forgotten peace movements, these forgotten peace heroes in World War I. You know, I mean, the truth is that large numbers of people have opposed war after war. We have a country of peace heroes in the grassroots, on the ground, and we don't acknowledge them because we don't even have the words to speak about them. So I want to ask you to do something. I want you to write down, beyond Howard Zinn, write down who is your peace hero. Is there anybody in your mind in the United States who constitutes your peace hero? Okay, just write this person's name down. Okay, how many of you were able to find a name that you could put? Can you just yell out a few names that you put, just randomly? Noam Chomsky, okay. Martin Luther King, who else? I'm not sure I'll accept that one. Dennis Kucinich, who else? Okay. Daniel Berrigan, yeah.
Pete Seeger,
yeah, absolutely.
Maya Angelou.
Yeah.
McGinn 121.
So here's what I just want to conclude by saying that I hope you'll meditate a little bit, one, on the privilege of being in a room with a historic figure who is a true peace hero, Howard Zinn. And second, I want you to think about the person's name that you wrote down. And, you know, Howard was talking about, and I try to say some of the same things because it's been true of my own life so much, that, you know, people, I think at BC, students around the country have the image that to become engaged in social activism for justice and peace, which are very, very intertwined. I mean, one of my great hopes is that this economic meltdown, you know, imperial powers, when they melt down, That's ultimately the beginning of the end of some of their capability for doing harm in the world for their war. So one of the great significances of this economic crisis that we're going through is that I think it's going to severely constrain whoever is elected in some of their more neoconservative militaristic agendas. But I really share Howard's feeling that you can, you know, it's very hard. I feel so bad for people who lose out on the opportunity to be peace heroes and peace activists themselves. Because rather than a sacrifice, it's the thing that has made the most difference to my life is to actually engage. It makes your life so much richer. You meet so many more interesting people. You get to listen to people like Howard said. You get to experience events of anti-war activity of all kinds. I feel so sad for people who don't have this experience. It seems like a great tragedy in life. So I want you to sort of keep in mind the name of the person that you wrote down and try to think about if he or she is your peace hero, there's something about that person that can help you direct your own life. So I'd like you to keep meditating on that person and think about how you can, in some way or form, live your life in the spirit of the person who is your peace hero. Thanks a lot.
Okay. We have a speaker.